Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. This is episode 162 of The Big Show, and I am so pleased you're here today. I just so appreciate it when you tune in every week. We have, a great show, just a lot of cool stuff to talk about. And I want to start off with an email that I got from Terry in Cincinnati. I feel a little like Radio DJ or Larry King or somebody. Terry in Cincinnati, hello. So, anyway, but what Terry wanted to know is, what's next for marketing? What does the future look like? With all the changes that are happening in technology, how can we as marketers prepare and be ready as things shift? Well, Terry, that's a great question and undoubtedly a challenge for marketers, because I'm going to be very candid. I don't know that we can predict the future. We can certainly, though, predict the present. We can take a look at where we are right now and what seems to be happening and look for trends that are actually driving marketing forward and driving our customers' digital experiences forward. And I think you can sum up the trends that we're seeing into two big themes, two highly related themes, overlapping themes. And the first is that content is getting ever more immersive. And the second is that customers are getting less friction in their interactions with the brands and businesses and products and services that they care about. So when we think about immersive content, we're thinking about how we're seeing more video, more imagery, more audio. Think about how Snapchat works. If you haven't signed up for a Snapchat account, I strongly recommend you do. Even if all you do is experience the stories that are put out there by people like Vice or CNN or Vox, because you'll see how it's entirely likely content will be experienced as we go forward, how your customers will connect with content going forward. I really can't say whether or not Snapchat will catch on as the social network or the messaging platform or the place where your customers connect. But I do suspect that the experience they're creating will shape what we expect of all social networks and all online content as we go forward. And we're seeing this in things like Facebook's commitment to live video and Twitter buying Periscope introducing Periscope and making sure that, you know, again, live video can happen, and Instagram and all the changes they're making there to engage people with the content at an even deeper level. So I think immersive content is a trend we're going to see a lot more of as we go forward. And then on the friction side, it's really about removing the barriers between customers and what it is they're trying to accomplish. We're seeing that, you know, people expect, look at Uber as a for instance. You tap a button on the phone, the car arrives, you get in the car takes you to where you want to go, you get out of the car, and you simply walk away. And I think we're going to see more experiences like that over time, where all friction has been removed from the process, where your customers can connect with the information and the products and the services that they want, when they want to, where they want to, and how they want to, quickly and easily. And there's a number of technologies and tools that I think are going to shape this, that we're going to see shape this in a really powerful way. The first of these is the increased amount of connectivity. If you think about your phone today, your phone isn't just a phone, and it isn't just a computer, and it isn't just a place where your apps reside. there's actually all these sensors built into it. And the reason that's true is because connectivity has gotten relatively cheap, processing power continues to get relatively cheap, and the sensors get relatively cheap. So your phone today, in addition to being a phone, also has a GPS in it, and also has a gyroscope in it, so that it can detect, you know, the orientation of the phone. So when you shake to undo, for instance, or play a game, the gyroscope is what's telling the phone what's happening there. It might have a magnetometer that measures magnetic fields you can use as a compass. It has things like a proximity sensor. You know how when you pick up your phone and place it by your ear and it turns off the screen? The proximity sensor is what's doing that. Or the accelerometer, to be fair. There's a couple different sensors there that could be doing that. There's a light sensor that measures the brightness in whatever location you're in and adjusts the screen brightness because it's darker or lighter in the space you're in. It might have a barometer so it can detect altitude or weather sensing. They might have health sensors like pedometers or heart rate monitors or fingerprint sensors. These are all being built into your phone because they're getting really cheap. And as connectivity gets cheap and as processing power and as sensors get cheap, we may as well build that into anything and everything. If you think about the greeting cards we have today where you can play a recorded message or you can record your own message, that's actually demonstrating where we're going. And when people talk about the Internet of Things, this is what they're talking about. They're talking about the sensors that will be built into these and the connectivity that will be built into devices and products such that they can speak intelligently and connect intelligently with the world around them. I don't know if you've seen yet Amazon's Echo device. I have one. It's a really cool device. And it just kind of disappears into the background until you need to use it. For a long time, I didn't get it. I thought your phone should do that. Except on your phone, you actually have to take an action still, usually. This just lets you talk and have things happen. Now, because there are more sensors, this is going to generate a lot more data. It's going to churn out huge amounts of data, which in the short run, I think is going to be problems for marketers, create a problem for marketers, because it's going to be tougher and tougher to find people who are educated in how to make sense of that data, certainly at a reasonable salary, at something you can easily afford, especially if you're competing with, you know, Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, the AgFam folks, or Wall Street for the math majors and stats majors who are interested enough in your marketing problems to come and work for you. Now, hopefully, that's a shorter term problem, thanks to the growth of AI, artificial intelligence, or machine learning. Because what we ought to be able to do is apply machine learning and apply AI to these reams of data and have it answer questions for us. Now, you're not likely to build your own AI. You're not likely to build your own machine intelligence. But you should be able to buy these tools off the shelf over time. And if we think about where things are going, these are the kinds of things we want to think about. Now, on the flip side, we also want to think about how is the customer going to experience the results of these? And it's possible we're going to see VR. I mean, we have things like Oculus Rift. It's possible we're going to see things like Google Cardboard, where people actually will have that immersive experience, that immersive content, and that frictionless experience around them all the time. You know, today there are apps that are augmented reality apps where you can hold up your phone and point it at things and have it tell you information about the things. Think like Google Translate or Layer, where as you look at printed content, you get additional content laid over top of it in the augmented reality app, which is really cool. But now imagine you don't have to bother opening an app. Your glasses or your watch or your phone just automatically tells you information or presents information to you based on what it knows you're doing. And I think that's what we're going to begin to see soon. Not quite yet. We're starting to get there already a little bit. It's not going to be commonplace for a little while yet. Don't forget the old quote that the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed. The question you really should be thinking about is, what do you do with this? Given that these changes are coming, what do you do? And first, you've got to focus on your customer experience. Ultimately, the companies that do a good job of customer experience as this frictionless environment and as this deeply immersive content comes into play, they're going to be in a good position to actually succeed in the marketplace. You want to watch what your customers do. You want to collect data about what your customers do and use that data to learn, not to be creepy, but to understand. As Julie Ask from Forrester puts it, you want to think in terms of being big mother, not big brother. How can you collect data that helps you create a better experience for your customers, not one that you're collecting the data just because you can, right? Don't be creepy. You want to get into a habit of test and learn. And I'll have some links in the show notes about how you can do that, but don't be afraid to take small steps. Look at what you can test today. Learn from that, and then build on it over time as these changes become more mainstream. And of course, build out your content. Experiment with some different forms. Can you use video? Can you use images? Maybe some audio where it makes sense? I don't know. Maybe you want to try a podcast. But again, it's got to be about solving your customers' problems and creating that customer experience. Because ultimately, the future will belong to those companies who actually do a good job of taking care of their customers. And as much as marketing has changed over the last several decades, and as much as it will change over the decades to come, the simple fact of the matter is the companies that take care of their customers win time and again. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we're out of time for this week, but I really do appreciate you tuning in. I so appreciate it. I want to remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all of our past episodes, at timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. And while you're there, you can go ahead and click on the subscribe link that you find there, so you can subscribe and never miss an episode. You can also subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or plain old Thinks Out Loud. You should be able to find us under any of those. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates, on Twitter using the handle @TCPeter, and much like Terry from Cincinnati did at the start of the show, you can send me an email to podcast@TimPeter.com. Again, that's podcast@timpeter.com with your comments, your questions, your concerns, your complaints, whatever happens to be top of mind for you. I do love to hear from you. With that, thanks again. I hope you have a great week ahead, a terrific weekend, and I'll look forward to seeing you back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Until then, take care, everybody.